to another fabulous episode of All of Vegas, presented by Las Vegas Weekly Magazine. All of Vegas comes to you from the recording space, deep within the home of Monday's Dark.
It's good, the recording space.
You like that?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, we're at the space, just off the world-famous Las Vegas Strip at Polaris and Harmon. I'm Brock, he's Mark. I want to get right to it because I have a ton of questions today for our guest, who is the co-creator of a dynasty of highly successful shows on the Strip. And she basically taught herself how to become a producer and director through her equally successful career as a performer in some of the most famous and iconic and naughty shows in the history of Sin City. And this month marks the 17th anniversary of Ex Burlesque, currently playing at Bugsy's Cabaret at the Flamingo, simply a Strip staple and the creation of the amazing Angela Stabile. Welcome to All the Vegas, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on this milestone. That is a long time for one
show. I know,
show.
Thank God, right? And I would like to make one correction.
Uh-oh. Already. I already screwed up. Yes. I've only been talking for 2 minutes, and I screwed everything up.
No, you didn't know about this, but we're announcing that it is now called the Ex Burlesque Theater. We're unveiling that on May 23rd at our press night, the 17th year anniversary.
Congratulations on that.
Wait a minute,
that's
what
a
night
big
is
deal.
That? I'm coming.
May yes, what? May 23rd.
If I'm in town, I'm going.
You must.
Hey-o.
That's a big deal when you get the name of the room.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really excited after all these years.
And well-deserved.
If I do say so myself, yeah. Right? Yes.
17 years is a long time for any show, but it seems like a long time for this kind of show also.
Right. But believe it or not, this type of show, which is a sexy topless review, there's another show, Crazy Girls actually was the first show that of its kind in town, which I was in before I became a producer. And so it's actually still around and in fantasy, actually. So came after that. So we actually haven't been here as long as those, oddly enough.
But you're right behind. Crazy Girls, what, 30-plus years, 40
years? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not even sure.
Crazy Everybody Girls loves boobs, man.
It's
Those
true.
Shows aren't going anywhere.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Not going anywhere.
People feel, even if they're, you know, from wherever they are, they might not go see topless dancers, but here in Las Vegas with the production, and they feel they have the license to do so.
Agreed. 100%. It is a universal language.
Yes, it's like you're in Las Vegas. I've got to go see some boobs.
Boobs. Right. It's what's for dinner.
You came to Las Vegas in 1985.
Correct.
How did that happen? Because you are from Charleston, West Virginia.
I am. Yes. Well, I danced my whole life in Charleston, you know, dance lessons. And I was a championship twirler, actually. And anyway,
that means a whole different thing in Las Vegas than it means in Charleston, West
Yes,
Virginia.
No.
That's like the baton, right? You throw it up in the air, you do something, and before it lands, you catch it.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Right.
I'm good. I'm following.
Yeah. Anyway, I came to Las Vegas with my parents for vacation. We saw the Moulin Rouge and at the Las Vegas Hilton at the time. Suzanne Somers was in it, and I just remember I watched the dancers, and I was like, wow, I can do that, you know, and it looks fun-filled and amazing. So I came back out. I auditioned for Minsky's Burlesque at the Hacienda and got the job, and I've been here ever since. So,
what did your family think of your new career here in Las Vegas? Was that hard to...
My mom, yes. My mother was not that happy. She actually, I didn't tell her that the show I was in was topless. So they came here, went to the show, and I still didn't tell her. I couldn't tell her. And then she just saw it. So then afterwards, she was in tears. But
wow.
Anyway.
No advance notice.
No warning.
I couldn't. I know. I just could not do it.
Hey,
but,
Mom!
And I figured maybe she won't notice. No. With all the costume, you know, it's like...
Maybe she won't notice. What?
No, definitely noticed. But now she's a huge fan. Obviously, she knows that they are production, you know, full production shows. So... It's yeah. So now she loves our shows.
What was it like in Las Vegas when you first got here? What were your first impressions? And obviously, it's changed a lot since then.
Let's see. I absolutely loved it. I've always loved Las Vegas. Even when I was growing up in Charleston, I would see Las Vegas on award shows and think, you know, oh my gosh, I've got to go there one day. And so I just loved it when I got here. Of course, it's grown, you know, I mean, it's so different than it was. But yet, on the other hand, it's the same. You know, Las Vegas is Las Vegas. But yeah, I mean, I just absolutely loved it. I love the dancer community, the performing, the excitement of everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was the first show that you were in, but you've been in, and we mentioned Crazy Girls already. You were also in Lido at yes. Stardust.
Yes, I was a dancer in Lido.
You hit them all.
Yes, I hit them all.
How, yep. And those are, that Lido's a different kind of show than like ex-burlesque, for example. But
The Lido de Paris, no, was more like Folies Bergère or... Jubilee. It was a. Yeah. It's a large production. It's this. I mean, they still have it in Paris, so it's yeah, a large production. But let's see. What was the question? Sorry.
Well, this kind of the kinds of shows that you produce now,
right,
have changed a lot over the years. Yes. Since Minsky's, for example.
Yes, absolutely.
How so?
Well, the in our shows, I like to say the actual girls themselves are the stars of the show. When a show like Jubilee or Minsky's even, it's more of the costumes are the stars, and it's more of the entire production is the star of the show. But the actual girls themselves are the focus of the show. Of course, we have amazing costumes and sets, but people are there to see the girls, and we really showcase them.
Mm-hmm. Are you still hands-on in the day-to-day and like the casting process and stuff like
that?
Oh,
absolutely, yes. Yeah. My husband, Matt, and I, and Tiffany, my daughter, who is a manager producer as well, and then we have two choreographers. All five of us do the auditioning and really everything. Mm-hmm. Producing, directing, my husband directs. I direct. I call the us five the X Dream Team. So
let's talk about casting, because casting is important in every show, of course.
Yes.
But it's really crucial in this kind of show, because as truly you just is. Said, you're spotlighting. You can't cover up.
In other shows, you can cover up a lot, I would say. But this type of show, our show in particular, they don't wear tights. So there's that. Tights, you know, can cover up a lot. And the girls have to be able to dance, and they have to be beautiful and young. They have to have the entire package. Sexiness, they have to have it, whatever that is. So,
how often are auditions held? Because I would imagine being in one of your shows is pretty prestigious for these women. They might not leave once they get that gig, right?
Right, it's true. We just actually held an audition. It seems to go in waves of maybe every 6 to 8 months. Either we want someone to leave, or something happens where they're leaving, or, you know, in their lives, leave town, whatever. And then we have an audition. So we just had one, and we were lucky to actually find three girls, which is unheard of in one audition.
I'm really disappointed that I was not invited to the auditions.
Next time. Next time.
I think Mark and Brock should be regulars at the auditions.
Absolutely.
I think it's probably more of like a pressurized situation. It's probably not as glamorous as we might think that it is.
I've been through a gazillion auditions. I don't care if they're a topless audition or a Broadway musical audition.
Right.
They're intense. And, you know, you're coming in prepared, ready to go, ready to blow that room away. And I can imagine it's the same with the girls. They want to come
absolutely.
In there and rock your socks off.
Yep.
Is there any, like...
They're not wearing much.
Is there any little tricks that you guys do or things to just kind of throw people off a little bit and see how they react to certain situations?
No, we teach them, the choreographers teach them the choreography, and then you know pretty much right away if it's a yes or no. And you also know, I mean, because it's the nature of the business, just by looking, if it's a yes or a no. And then the next step would be the choreography. And then the next step is they are asked to take their tops off, face forward, sideways, backwards, forward. So, because it is a topless show. Mm-hmm. So.
All angles, Brock.
All angles, yes.
I love that you're here
today. The nature of the beast, it is.
So, somebody makes the show, and like Mark said, maybe now they have a new career in Las Vegas. I bet that that lifestyle now is much different than it was when you did it. I hate to go to the 80s as like the old right. days, because I moved to Las Vegas in the 80s as well.
It is the old days now. You're
it
right.
is. I yes. don't know how that happened.
I know. It is.
But what was that? What was the lifestyle like for you as a performer during that?
I had my daughter Tiffany. So she was 3 months old. So it was probably a little different for me than it was a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. So while I did go out, I didn't go out all the time because I did have a child. So I don't know. I think maybe it's still pretty much the same. I feel a lot of the girls now have jobs during the day, or going to school. And back then, I don't feel that was as common mm-hmm. as it is now.
Now you created you and your husband created Ex-Burlesque yes. for the Aladdin in 2002.
Right.
But before that, when you were still dancing, at what point did you know that you wanted to segue into a career as a producer?
I had planned on doing that. I would say maybe halfway through my career in Crazy Girls, because I was there 10 years, and I learned a lot of things. I saw what worked and what I thought didn't work. So I thought, well, I can do this also. So that's what I wanted to do after. But after I retired, I started writing a book actually called Secrets of a Las Vegas Showgirl. And I got the entire thing pretty much done. And then I didn't like how it turned out. So it's still just on the back burner. And I decided to go ahead and move forward to produce my own show. So at that time, in 2002. Mm-hmm.
How did you meet your husband? How did you guys meet?
Well, actually, I opened X. It was called X by itself. So X at the Aladdin Hotel in 2002. And the Aladdin hired my husband's company, Stabile Productions, to produce our commercial. And that's how we met.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, he'd been running that as a production studio for quite a few years before you guys.
Yes, since 1986. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So that was the beginning. Now you have X Rocks at Bally's.
Right.
And X Country at Harrah's.
Yes.
And it sounds kind of simple that, you know, this show has a different kind of music. This show has a different right. kind of theme. Of course, it's not as simple as that.
Right.
What's the creative process like as you've expanded your show empire? Like, what is the planning process and strategy when you're putting together a new show?
Well, the first, obviously, was X, so an X Burlesque. And it has a little bit of everything. So it has, you know, the country number, the rocks. It has rock throughout. It has traditional burlesque songs. And then we decided, actually, Jason Gatsworth suggested X Rocks. So we put that together. And then we thought, well, if we've got X Rocks, then why not X Country, right? So, I mean, so that's how we went with that. But the creative process, we sit down, Matt and I sit down, we come up with ideas that we think will be good. Then we go through all tons of music, put options down for that. Then we meet with Tiffany, Mika, and Anthony, and then get their input, and then we go from there. Matt and I always have the final say, of course, but and a lot of times those three will think we're out of our minds, but then they end up loving it once it comes, you know, to life. But but anyway, that's really how it works. So
Mika's a choreographer, right?
She's a choreographer, and she also is a star in X Burlesque. Mm-hmm. She actually has done X Country and X Rocks when needed, but yeah, she stars in X Burlesque.
Mm-hmm. You created Men of X years ago.
Yes, we did. Yes.
I recently had a stint in Magic Mike Live. I was the MC.
Oh, yes. I actually saw you in that. Yes. That show was great. It was amazing.
Do you think that this would be something you guys dabble in again because of this resurgence of male review shows, like the success of Chippendales, obviously, and
right.
Magic Mike Live is not going anywhere anytime soon. The show's fantastic. So
it truly is.
Is mm-hmm. that something you guys think you might dabble in again?
Definitely. The only glitch, if it is a glitch, we have is that all of our shows right now are at Caesars properties, and they have a non-compete with Chippendales, so we can't do Men of X at a Caesars property. But if anyone is listening, we could definitely do Men of X anywhere else. So give us a call. Yeah, I would love to. It was really fun. Yeah, we did tour it, and we do it randomly for Indian casinos who call and ask. So we'll do one-offs of that.
Do you find it more challenging to find talented men?
Oddly enough, no.
No. No. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I do think the men may be, believe it or not, more divas in certain ways than the women. But that's our experience.
Was that your experience at Magic Mike?
Maybe not from those guys.
No, because I'm familiar with Chippendales brand, having, you know, good friends with their publicist. Mm-hmm. But then with the creation of Magic Mike and being a part of that from the beginning, it was really an interesting process to see it. It was always a dance show first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With this sense of empowering the female audience participant. And all of the talent came from major dance backgrounds. Like, they weren't strippers. Like, I hate to say the word stripper. Right. They were all professional dancers from J-Lo, Britney, Rihanna. They were just incredible dancers who also happened to look like a million bucks with their tops off. And, you know, with Allison Falk and Teresa Estrada choreographing, they put together something I thought that was pretty unique for that type of show. Mm-hmm. I forgot sometimes that I was in a review show. You know, mind you, I was only out there for 10 minutes being disgusting. But I forgot.
Which is way shorter than you're usually disgusting on an average day.
That's right. That's right. I try to be disgusting all day. But it was fun to be a part of it. And, you know, obviously working with Channing, having him direct that.
And I mean, yes, I brought my husband Matt to that show after I had seen it once. And because even the production of the show, it really was next level for that type of show.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money on the
production. Any show. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, when you walked into that room, you knew you were going to see something special because they transformed that space. It used to be Body English.
Right.
And when you walk in, you don't even, it's not that club anymore.
No,
it
not at all.
It truly is a Magic Mike theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. I want to be a part of X-Men.
Yeah, yes.
We can't call it X-Men.
We should try out.
You can't call it X-Men because isn't that like a Marvel thing?
It is.
Maybe that's the theme.
X-Dudes.
I come out in a wheelchair, shaven bald with a metal plate on my head, and I predict what's about to go down, and then
I'll dye all of my fur blue.
And yeah, then that's right. And what's his name with the?
We were ready, Angela.
We got the guy, Super Fran from the Golden Knights,
superhero
Wolverine from the Golden Knights. He'd take his top off.
You didn't know when you came here today.
I know.
You're going to get your next great show.
I literally just cast the Men of X.
I love it. I love it.
We'll have a Golden Knight.
She's going to recast it.
I know.
We'll have Marc-Andre Fleury come and strip. He's retiring soon, I hear. Maybe.
There you go.
I'm starting rumors.
Yeah, it does seem like with the male reviews, there's still room for growth because there's room in that category for different kinds of shows. But the female reviews have always been a part of Las Vegas from the very beginning. So you've had to, as you create these shows, what do you do and how do you make them stand out from all the other
I think our production level... as with Magic Mike, is higher than the other male reviews. I feel ours is higher than, or is at the top of our genre. Mm-hmm. So we also change every show every year, update it. We throw ourselves a party. It's fun. but we to showcase what we, you know, the new changes. Plus the audience member then always comes back. They can see something new. Mm-hmm.
So. What was the show that was running at the Rio?
Or it was X-Rocks. And then we moved it to Bally's.
Okay, because when I was in Rock of Ages, we moved to the Rio for a split second, and I was only there for a couple weeks. But I remember meeting the girls backstage and passing, because the Rock of Ages theater's backstage tunnel.
Right, exactly.
Was by that room where you guys were, where your theater was. And I thought, wow, Rock of Ages hit the lottery, because now every time we were backstage, these women were sprinting. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're not in our show. You should be in Rock of Ages.
I know.
Come over here.
Really. They could do both. I know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also produce Piff.
Yes, Piff the Magic Dragon.
How did this happen?
That plays in the same room at the Flamingo.
He is amazing. Well, we saw him in Vegas Nocturne. And we absolutely thought he was hilarious. And then when we heard that was closing, I contacted, or our wardrobe person worked for them as well. And he gave me his phone number, and I contacted him. And that's how that started. And this was before America's Got Talent.
Yeah, he's definitely exploded since you
It's amazing. We're selling out. We've actually added 5:30 shows for the summer because we're selling out. So, yeah, very exciting.
What was that like to do something real for you, to do something completely different than anything you've ever done before, to work with him?
It is different, but on one hand. On the other hand, it is show business. It's show. It's production value. It's, you know, it's show business. So while he's, you know, we're not showcasing beautiful, sexy girls, but we're showcasing Piff the Magic Dragon, you know.
Dude in a onesie and a dog.
Yeah.
What's not
Mr.
to
Piffles.
Love?
Mr. Piffles.
Yes. He's very funny. He's very funny.
He really is.
He tours a lot as well, though.
He does. Yeah. He works so hard. He'll do 5 days a week here and then take a red eye out, perform somewhere, come back. So, you know, always working.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. I would love to see his dressing room. Like, how many
it's pretty interesting.
Dragon onesies does he have hanging up?
When you come to the show, we'll take you down there. His dressing room's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Piff.
He's really becoming like a staple of Vegas, too. You know,
yes.
People identify him with Vegas so much now.
Yep.
He's
him
identifiable.
And his girlfriend, Jade, who's the showgirl in the show, they bought a house here a couple years ago. They love it here, so...
I would imagine with Game of Thrones being popular right now, the dragon, he is very popular. He's identifiable. He's in a dragon outfit. I'm going to do a spinoff. I'm going to call myself Puff. I'm going to be in like a giant cigarette or joint costume. Puff the Puffer. Maybe I'll open for him. Puff the Fluffer.
There you go.
Puff the Fluffer. And I open
as
for
an open.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right. Opener. I'm the opener. Fluffer Puff.
I thought we were on a roll with the superhero male review. I think you killed our momentum.
Yeah, I killed it.
I don't know if you knew. That's right. We also, as of last October, we produced John Caparulo's show as well.
Right. And that is at Harris. Is that in that's
house
in a different
of
room,
tape,
right?
Where Tape Face is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We had Tape Face on here. He's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
great. Actually brought him to Las Vegas as well.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. We produced his show. At the Flamingo, where Piff is right now.
So, I mean, you're branching out, obviously. Is this kind of a new direction that you guys are looking to move more into?
We're always open to anything, really. I'm always on the lookout for new shows of any kind. And if we believe in them, you know, then obviously
you get the full support.
We
want to
do them. Yeah.
Yeah. You said Flamingo. Interesting, there's going to be some changes, obviously, coming up there, right? With Donnie and Marie announcing that this is
their last
year.
They're finally
year, so.
Wrapping up their long residency.
And that's an interesting room. I've always liked that room. It has that old school aesthetic.
Yes.
I do hope that they sort of spend a little loot in there to bring it up to, you know.
Right. It can stay old school, but yet, right, be it.
I love what they did at the Link, because that room was very similar. The Diva show was in there for a long time, and then when they brought in Matt Franco, that room, I think, is pretty awesome, up to today's standards for a room, but it still feels, you know, fun.
Right.
And if you're walking into a showroom. I love the Donnie and Me room. What do you think is going to happen in there after
Are they hinting? They're bringing in Paula Abdul for a residency type
in there.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's, I think that's the start of, I think that Caesars is going to experiment with different kind of showroom style residencies.
What's that room hold?
I think it's 800 or 1,000, but that includes the balcony. So.
Bigger than I thought then, because I didn't realize it was 1,000 seats.
Yeah, it's a little deeper.
Is Donnie and Marie doing 1,000 people a night in there?
Pretty close. They've been doing
They're full all the time.
Yeah, good for them. I love them. And
yeah,
so
it's
supportive.
One of my favorite shows, actually.
You know, and they're a lot like you guys, too, where, you know, they move to Vegas, experience what Vegas is all about. Make it your home. They're constantly giving back to the community, too. And we just had them at the hockey game. They showed up and they cranked our siren for us. So that was cool to have them there and always down to earth.
Just the nicest
cool
people ever.
Yeah,
right.
Really great.
What kind of show, Angela, what kind of show do you think the Strip needs right now? Obviously, the show landscape has changed a lot. It's always changing. It's changed a lot in the last few years. You know, the kind of big traditional production show doesn't really exist anymore. Obviously, the big name headliners are kind of the dominant force, but there's a lot of new stuff in the last 6 months also. What do you think the Strip is missing?
Missing? Interesting.
Or is there anything that you're working on secretively that you can kind of tell us?
Yes. No. No, I mean, we're, like I said, we're always looking for things. We are working on stuff, but it's too early to mention. I don't know if it's missing anything, but except for what you just said, there are no more traditional Las Vegas shows. So maybe it could be an updated yet retro Jubilee style show. I don't know.
I'm never too sure. I think that people talk about those kinds of shows a lot.
I know.
I wish that we still had that. I wish we still had these kind
maybe
of
a dinner show.
Symbols of old Vegas, but I don't know if there's really
it'd
an appetite
have to be done.
For that, you know?
It would have to.
Well, I also think, too, the budget is the key. The bigger the show becomes, the more expensive it becomes, and then your bottom line and your margins shrink tremendously and quickly. And I think that's the challenge. You know, at the, I don't know if it was the SAG Awards or the Emmy Awards or the Oscars. I forget which one it were. I'm blanking.
The Mark Chinook Awards.
No, the comedian, female, old school.
What are we talking about?
No.
I don't
old
know.
School.
Who? Rita Rudner. Rudner, maybe? No, she got up and won her award. She got the Lifetime
Achievement
Award.
Casino Entertainment Awards.
It doesn't matter. I fucking forget. Who cares? She basically said, hey, I wish we could do shows like we used to do, these variety shows. She had a variety show on television. Mm. I'm blanking.
Oh, Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett. She got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and she even said, you know, I wish producers would do this type of show again. It's just they're so expensive to produce.
And that's a TV show.
And that's a
TV
show.
Which is even more expensive in some ways.
Yeah. So, you know, I agree. I think that if there was that kind of puzzle piece, but I also agree with what you're saying. They sound cool when you're sitting around having a drink. Oh, I wish we could do this. But is there really a demographic that will spend some money and come? And that's the million-dollar question, because those shows will be expensive to pull off. And we'll see, because I know there's a couple in the works.
I think you guys should do it, Angela. I think you guys should
do
the new
show.
I
know. It could be named Extravaganza. There you go.
There you go.
Boom. Wow. All right.
Who better to connect Vegas old and Vegas new?
No.
You're the perfect person.
Extravaganza.
I do believe we would be, yes.
One of our nine listeners just trademarked that name.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
It's okay because we're not live, so I can buy that you website can,
that's
before.
Right, that's
before,
right.
Before, yes. Okay, there you go.
That's right.
I got your back. Well, what are you working on right now? What is the next step for you guys? Obviously, you're celebrating this anniversary and you're changing this show. Which is the next show to get refreshed, I guess?
The next show will be X Country. Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
Can tell people where that's running?
At Harrah's.
At Harrah's.
Yes.
That's a perfect spot for that show.
It
that's
is.
That's up the escalator, right?
It is, yeah. On the second level. Yep.
And I just saw something up there, the Heartbreak Hotel, up the other escalator.
Yep. On the third floor.
That's a great new show that just opened in there. I think that's going to do well there as well. Harrah's did a great job when you valet and you walk in that new food court bar area.
That's It's super nice. Yeah.
Super nice.
You wouldn't expect it there. Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's my go-to now when I go see a show at Harrah's. I stop at the little circle bar right there, have a drink, and the food court area is a little bit more, it's a little step up from a traditional food court where you feel like they're making in front of you. There's a salad place in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my go-to before.
Salad.
I got to try and get ready for
it
my
It's an amazing
debut.
Salad place.
That's great for you because you guys have a place to run to and you can actually get some food that's not McDonald's or something.
Right.
I'm working on Jason to call it Harrah's.
Harrah's.
I think they should rebrand it and call it Harrah's and just charge $10 more for everything.
I think if we just start saying it all the time, it will catch on and then everything.
Ashworth, are you listening? No. I'm coming to Harrah's this evening for a $22 margarita.
It's a good margarita.
That's right. Charge $10 more for everything.
Yeah.
And just call it Harrah's because it sounds like you can.
You do have where your shows are, you know, these are like classic
hotels.
Vegas.
For sure.
Obviously, the Flamingo is the first one, so you can't get more cool
classic
than that.
Classic than that, right?
Does that never get old going to work in these iconic places on the Las Vegas Strip?
No, I love it. I really do. Because it feels like, you know, it's a part of Las Vegas history, and I'm thankful that I get to do that every day. So,
do you still go in every day?
Let's say every day, but
how often do you check in on the show?
I'm thankful every day. My husband and I go at least 2 to 3 times a week, unless we are preparing for a press night or something, then we're there every night.
Wow, that's more than I expected. Actually, I thought you maybe check in once a week.
No, we have so many shows also.
Oh, that's true. You can't be in two places.
And they're mainly all at 10 p.m., so all but Piff the Magic Dragon.
How much, with the Piff relationship, how much control do you have over that show, or is it more just like, hey, you're using our room, and we're going to help produce your venue, and you can do what you want, because he's so creative?
He is super creative, but we help. He has the vision of what he wants, and then we help everything come to life and also add to that vision.
Perfect.
We're
Does he have
definitely
a director?
A
is there a director of that show, or is it's basically him up there?
Him and then my husband, Matt.
Oh, great.
Yep.
It must be cool to also have your family around you all the time. Maybe you guys drive each other crazy sometimes also, but...
I'm sure, I mean, you know, once in a while, but it's nice. My entire family is in show business, so... And, you know, Tiffany's always with us, my daughter, and then, I don't know if you knew, my son is Frank Sidoris. He is the guitar player in Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators,
mm-hmm.
and he's on tour actually right now.
Yeah, he used to play in some. Then he used to play in some local bands that were pretty.
He did. Yeah. He grew up here. He was. What was the first one called? Saint Rose. That was a super local band, and then he was the guitar player for The Cab, which was a
That's
pop band.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I think I may have written a story for a different Alt Weekly years ago about one of his bands.
Yeah. Anyway, then I guess it's been 7.5 years ago now, so he's been with Slash.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So were your kids like, that's it, we have to go into entertainment, we have no choice?
No, but they both wanted to, so. I mean, but they really grew up around it, so.
Yeah, what's not to love?
Yeah. They love Las Vegas, they love entertainment, you know. So it worked out well.
It's pretty easy when you have cool Vegas parents.
Yeah, not everybody has cool Vegas parents.
Nobody else has.
No, I don't think so.
No. Nope.
I think you're the only one.
Well.
All right, it is time to shift gears and give you the Vegas you need. This is where we play expert and tell you about the places we love in Las Vegas the most Angela, as our guest, you get to go first. What is your pick?
Okay. My pick, one of the, my favorite all-time restaurants is Piero's. It's, you know, really old school. It has that mafia feel, whatever that may be. anyway, and I just love it there. I love the food. You can go there, and we always sit in the A room. And that's where, I mean, many times there's celebrities there. There's politicians or, you know, it's always fun to see who's there. And, you know, to also be seen as well there. It's just, I love it there. It's fun.
It is true that there's still a lot of celebrities and local celebrities there. And that's pretty rare that that continues to stay at the same right. venue through different generations.
Many generations. That's pretty cool. Right.
Piero's when Las did it Vegas open? Classic.
Do you know that's a good question.
I don't know. Yeah. But I do know that it is the one... I'm pretty sure it's the one place Producer that Ken. Has that mafia vibe Piero's. That actually totally. Was a mafia hangout.
Exactly, so. Right.
When that opened, Ken's going to look it up.
I mean...
Because it's been there forever.
I know they have a piece like at the Mob Museum on the owner of Piero's, mm-hmm. Freddie Glassman.
That's how you know it's official.
Yes, that yeah. there you go. So,
1982. Not as old as I
not
thought.
Not as old as I thought, yeah.
I mean, you got to put it in Vegas years, man. 1982.
Yeah.
If you predate me and you predate Angela, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. But still.
I know. I would have thought older, but.
I thought 1935.
Yeah.
Classic
when
Vegas.
The horses were going by. Vegas.
Mark, what are you going to pick this week?
I've got a cool pick. So in the last year, I've become kind of a sneakerhead. I didn't even know that was a term. And I guess it's just somebody who buys a lot of sneakers. And I didn't wear a lot of sneakers as a kid. But now that I'm north of 40, I just want comfort, but I'm buying cool kicks. There is a store in the mall, the big mall, fashion show mall, called Urban Necessities. And what it is it's basically a shop that's almost like it is a consignment store. So if somebody gets their hands on a hot ticket kick that's sold out in minutes, they can then turn around and resell it in this store. So if there's a shoe that you really wanted on Nike or Adidas or whatever their websites are when they drop on these apps and you can't buy them, more than likely they will be in Urban Necessities. The store is known across the world, or actually across the country. The owner travels to all of these sneaker conventions and acquires all of these exclusive high-end sneakers, and they're in his shop. The store started at the Maryland Parkway Mall and has recently moved to the Fashion Show Mall. That tells you the kind of business they're doing if they can afford to make that kind of move.
That's true.
Right. He's doing a lot of money, and they have the coolest shoes on the planet. So if there's a sneaker that you wanted in the stores that sold out quickly, more than likely, it's in Urban Necessities in the Fashion Show Mall. That's my pick.
I love it. You're wearing some pretty clean Jordans right now, man.
I've got the, these are called Black Cement, mm-hmm. I believe.
I think I had those I like when it. I was a youngster.
So I put them on. My wife is over it. I'm going to be honest. She's over it. So for a woman to actually chime in and say, yo, hold back on the shoes, there's an issue.
Well, as we know, your wife is incredibly tolerant.
Of many things. My flatulence. What do you got, Brock?
My pick is a new show that is in a residency type situation at One Oak at the Mirage. It's a live entertainment show happening in a nightclub. It's Postmodern Jukebox. You guys know what this is. It's been touring all over the place.
Yes.
I'm going Saturday night.
It's been all over YouTube. It's very popular. It's what they do is old genres of music, current hits.
Yeah.
So like a jazzy version of Bruno Mars or whatever. But it's not as simple as that. They really go crazy with it. And it's songs that you would never expect to hear. Like they did Imagine Dragons. They did Radiohead.
Yep.
And it's nice. Amazing. The arrangements are crazy. It's a really tight, awesome band. And some of my favorite performers, like, for example, Jacqueline McSpadden, who used to be in Baz, who is just unbelievable, is in that show right now. Yeah, it's Postmodern Jukebox. It's called the Speakeasy or something like that, and it's at One Oak at the Mirage until, I think, the end of the summer.
How's so the go vibe? Check it out. I'm going Saturday night. How's the vibe of the room, like seeing a concert-y kind of show in a nightclub?
I think it's awesome because they've been able to convert it, and it feels like a nightclub, like not like a Vegas nightclub, like an old-school nightclub. It has a really cool feel, and it's perfect for that show, obviously. Yeah.
Well, wasn't Matt Goss there?
He still is there. He's doing just Sunday nights. And then,
he's doing one night
and then
now.
PMJ is doing, I think, Wednesday through Saturday or something like that.
Again, another property that I love, and I love going to the Mirage to see the transformations that they're continually adding to that property. Like, mm-hmm. you turn a corner and you're like, oh, this is new. Just classic. And that was Mr. Wynn's first property, yeah?
First big one, yeah.
On the strip, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, A-list. Love it. Mirage. What's the steakhouse in the Mirage, Brock? That's a good steakhouse there, too.
It's called Heritage Steak.
Heritage Steak. Who's the chef?
It's Tom Colicchio, sort of.
Oh. Sort of.
Sort of.
But a great steakhouse. I've heard nothing but great things there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Saturday
night.
That's
one of my favorites. I like that.
I'm taking my wife to Heritage, and we are seeing PMJ. Ben, the director of Postmodern, was here at Monday's Dark a couple couple weeks ago, and he actually reached out to me when they were creating the show because he knows that we get the best singers in town on our stage. And he said, hey, I need local singers. We're bringing Postmodern to the Mirage. Who do you got? And I sent him about 15 names that I knew could fit the vibe of what PMJ's about. And I'm just going to say a few of them currently in the show.
Awesome.
And we are in good with Postmodern from now on.
Yeah.
It's good.
Good work.
Those
man.
Are great picks. Pierrot's, go buy some shoes at Urban Necessities and then go see Postmodern.
That's
Jukebox.
A good old school date right there.
Yeah.
Go to Pierrot's and go to PMJ.
Yeah, it's a good date.
Angela, thank you so much for
being
with us today. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, but Ex Burlesque is at 10 p.m. nightly at the Flamingo.
Correct, yes.
Ex Rocks, same time, Thursday through Monday, at the Back Room at Bally's, which is also a really cool kind of little hidden room back
it
there.
It is,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ex Country is at 10 p.m. Thursday through Monday at Hare's Cabaret.
Correct, yeah.
I'm sorry, Hurrah's.
Hurrah's.
Cabaret.
Yes.
That's three.
Has changed that.
And Piff the Magic Dragon is at 5:30 or 8 p.m. nightly back at the newly rechristened room at the Flamingo.
Yes.
I want to put together, I got an idea, because I'm always about trying to raise money for charity. I think we do a thing at Monday's Dark where somebody can win the Marathon of X, where they have to go on Wednesday to one show, Thursday to the next show, and Friday.
I'll do that right now.
We can make that
happen. That's
yes.
what I'm saying. We need
we
to
can
have,
make that happen.
There's three, right? There's Burlesque, Rocks, and Country.
Correct. Yep.
So we put
so
that
far.
Together as a package. Oh.
Yes.
We could raise some dough. Boobies galore. That's what we'll call the package.
I think what you do is you start with Rocks.
Yeah.
The next night you go to Country. And then the next night you go to Piff, and then you go to the original.
You break it up with a little dragon in there.
Yeah.
Daenerys.
And don't forget
Still
John Caparulo also.
Oh, yeah,
is at 10 p.m. on
but I'm
every night
but
Tuesday. I know, but I mean, I'm just saying.
When in doubt.
Go see these shows.
Go
see these shows if you want to have some fun.
Legendary. I'm so excited you came out with us today. This
Thank you so,
so
much
great
for having,
having
me.
You here.
And it's great to finally meet you.
I know. I've never met you, I know. So. It's just the beginning. Thanks a lot for making it happen over there, Will.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Monday's Dark just did, since we're in the future right now, we're in the past and we're in the future. Monday's Dark just did a disco theme show. And it was off the hook.
Well, let's hope.
Mark, do you know what the next musical theme is going to be for the June 3rd show?
The June 3rd show is the music of Gaga.
Oh my.
It will be a Lady Gaga evening.
Uh-oh.
We picked June 3rd because it is right after her, what will be her latest sit down here. She's here on the end of May, couple of days of June. So we're going to send a little note to let her know what's happening.
I'm sure she'll swing by.
And she's going to come by. I'm just going to throw it out there to the universe. She's a musical theater girl from New York City. She gets what we're doing
here. Let's just go ahead and guarantee that Lady Gaga's going to be in the space on June 3rd.
Gaga's going to show up to the space. So we're going to do all of her music. It's just going to be fun. We try to keep the themes for these charity events party and appealing, obviously, commercially. And disco is great. Gaga is going to be great. We just did a country night, which was fantastic. We've got a Beatles night in the works coming up. So many fun themes. But again, it's more about just the guests' experience, feeling great about giving $20 to the charity and having a good time.
It's the best. Go to mondaysdark.com, get your tickets. Mark, do you want to talk about the Girl of a Thousand Voices?
Yeah, why
not? Christina Bianco at the Space June 8th and 9th.
So we're bringing Christina Bianco out from New York. For those of you who are fans of RuPaul or Ellen, she's a staple on both of those shows. She was on RuPaul, pretty much all last season. I don't watch the show, unfortunately. However, she's an incredible vocalist who can sound like anybody on the planet. And what's great about her coming to the space is her team contacted us and said, look, Christina really wants to play Las Vegas. There's a few theaters that are interested. However, she is interested in playing the space because of the vibe, the feel, what you guys have set up over there. Would you be interested? And obviously, you know, we had to crunch the numbers and put together the right deal. And we were able to make it happen. She has over 8 million views on her latest Ellen appearance. Her YouTube channel goes crazy. And I'm so grateful for the fact that she is coming here. She's just entertaining. She's a lot of fun. She's someone who could probably have a show in Vegas periodically on the Strip or here at the Space. You know, there's nothing wrong with playing the Space. However, she's of that level now where she's just going to explode. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that she's going to stop here at the Space. So June 8th and 9th, thespacelv.com. She's just a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be
thanks
a good
for bringing
one.
That up. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Las Vegas Weekly has tons of cool stuff this week about the Emerge Festival coming back again, about Christina Aguilera's residency at Planet Hollywood that's starting up very soon. Pick it up or read it on your stupid phone at lasvegasweekly.com. If you don't like me calling your phone stupid and you want to complain about it, email us at allofvegas@lasvegasweekly.com. That goes right into Mark Chinook's personal inbox. All the Vegas at LasVegasWeekly.com. Go listen to all the Vegases at allthevegas.com. Who writes this stuff?
It's good.
It's terrible. Or find us on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. Thanks once again to Angela Stabile. Thanks as always to Mark and Ken. And thank you for listening. Drive carefully. Come back soon.